27th September 2022, open for the transaction of business as set out on the agenda. I welcome councillors and officers and members of the media and public present. I acknowledge the Central Arrernte people, who are the traditional owners and custodians of Alice Springs. A reminder that this meeting is being recorded and will be placed on council's website. By speaking at a council meeting, you agree to being recorded. Please ensure that if and when you speak at the council meeting, you're respectful to others and use appropriate language at all times. Alice Springs Town Council accepts no liability for any defamatory or offensive remarks or gestures made during the course of this meeting. We did have a prayer from Pastor Ben Teefy, but Ben's not here, so we'll move on. Mr. CEO, are there any apologies?
There are no apologies, Chair.
I will note that Councillor Hopper is joining us via Zoom today, and Councillor Hopper, the same as confidential, just turn your camera on or put your hand up, and I'll endeavor to go to you. Welcome to the members of the public in the gallery. Just so people are aware, we had three items come out of confidential. One is for a liquid waste pond to be installed at the Regional Waste Management Facility. Second one is the by-election will be on October 29, at a cost of 150,000 dollars. And the third point was around the social order response, and there was three motions. That is, that council congratulate the Northern Territory Government on the Mabanchura Alice Springs social order response, and note that council look forward to working collaboratively with the Northern Territory Government on this matter. Two, provides in principle support to the Mabanchura Alice Springs social order response. And three, that we invite Jeanette Kerr to attend a meeting with the elected members on the Mabanchura Alice Springs social order response plan as soon as possible. So we will action that after this meeting. Public question time. Are there any questions from members of the public about items on the agenda or other business of council? Please come up and state your name, and we just have to use the microphone just because this meeting's being recorded. Yeah, take it off, mate. You can sit down.
Morning. My name is Will Adson. I'm here to raise the issues of Aboriginal youth crime and the rising levels of violence in our town. A few weeks ago, my nephew was walking through Sutterdene by himself at night, and he was approached by four Aboriginal youth who held a machete to his neck. He felt the blade on his throat. He wasn't robbed, and there was no harm to him. But it's getting a bit out of control, I think. And, you know, what happens next? Is there a violent attack? Does somebody get really badly hurt? I think this is something we need to look at. It's not just concern for my nephew, but, you know, everybody that lives in Alice Springs. And I guess my question is, what are we doing and what can we do to, you know, slow this down and stop it?
Thank you, Will, for your question. Firstly, I am incredibly sorry to hear about your nephew's experience, which is a disgusting experience. It shouldn't be happening anywhere in the world, let alone Alice Springs in 2022. So I am sincerely sorry that that's happened. As you said, it's happening far too often in Alice Springs, and we're seeing, you know, knives get brought out on many occasions now. It's not a one-off thing. It's happened on school buses. It's happened to your nephew. We've seen gangs with knives fight with young kids, so it's pretty scary that it's happening in Alice Springs. You know, this has been going on for a very long time, and we've had meeting after meeting with the government. In March, we had a special meeting just on crime, and we wrote to the Northern Territory Government around nine items, I think. They have addressed some of those. We've seen Jeanette Kerr from the Northern Territory Government come down here. There's a part for Alice Springs Town Council to play on that. We've asked for the mapping to be done. I think that's almost finished, to make sure that the funds are happening at the before the bottom of the cliff rather than after the event. You know, how can these kids get in the system before that happens? Look, Will, we meet constantly with the Northern Territory Government, and I know that your email was sent to the Chief Minister, but when we meet with the Chief Minister, I'll personally hand deliver her that letter from you, if that's okay. And to make sure that they're reading that. And unfortunately, your story is far too common. It's happening too often. You know, we've got another letter about the attack on the school bus. So I'll pass that letter on and make sure that the Northern Territory government are aware of what's happening, just so they realise and believe us when we tell them how bad it is, because I'm not sure that at times they believe us how bad it is. But have a young child have a machete held to their neck can have ramifications for the rest of their life in some cases. So, look, we are trying as an elected member group to make sure that the Northern Territory government hear us when we say it. As I said, we'll pass it on. We'll make sure that they're listening to us. But, yeah, look, I am sorry to hear, and I appreciate you taking the time to come in today. It's not a nice story, but I think it's one that that has to be told. So thank you. As I said, we'll continue to work and do what we can, and I'll pass the message up. Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thanks, Will. Good on you. And thank you for your email. I'm sure Mr. Brash will want to get your phone number by the looks. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Will. And look, there will be some discussion around crime and antisocial behaviour in general business, Will, if you want to stick around, but you don't have to. Thank you. I'll turn my microphone off to speak. Do any councillors wish to disclose an interest with regard to any matter on the agenda pursuant to Section 115 of the Local Government Act? 21.1, confirmation of minutes. In accordance with Section 101 of the Local Government Act, I present the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on Tuesday, the 23rd of August, for confirmation. May I have a councillor who was present move confirmation of these minutes as a correct record of the proceedings, the meetings to which they relate. Moved, a deputy mayor, seconded Councillor Batar. Any business arising from those minutes? Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. Just that it's got on page 111 that Councillor Cocking was present.
Thank you.
And then just two typos, page 134, it's got Councillor Coffery. So there's an R in there that shouldn't be there. And on page 142, it talks about our green strategy instead of greening strategy.
Thank you. We'll note those. Councillor Batar.
It just says that I wasn't there, but I was.
Yeah. Thank you. You've got that one. Mr. CEO, I've got a question in regards to the petition that Councillor Hopper had put forward. Obviously, we don't have the report this council meeting. Mm-hmm. There was a change of policy by the Northern Territory Government halfway through. So will we receive the report next month?
I believe that's the intent. I'll just check with Director Taylor. Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other business arising from the report? No? All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. I present the Mayor's report and ask for a motion that the report be received. Moved, Councillor Brown. Seconded, Councillor Coffey. Any business arising from the report? I will say there is three recommendations on the back page. So as the mover, Councillor Brown, are you happy to move all three of those, or would you like to have a debate about any of those topics? Or would you like me to explain them? So the first one come from the training with Linda Weatherhead and the department, just around our meeting agenda and the layout of how we do minutes, the finance paperwork, XYZ. So I'm just suggesting that go to a future forum and then we discuss that, how that looks. Is the systems that the way that we present minutes the right way to do it? I'm happy to have that debate in a forum, because I don't think it is. And we did have a pre-meeting yesterday for a risk and audit to talk about the finances, and in future that will come to the risk and audit as well before it comes to the meeting about how finances are presented. So that's just that one. The second one is quite clear, that we support the Electoral Commission's no change of our electoral boundaries and no wards. And I think that Mr. Loganathan made that clear, that he would like a response from council. And the third one is just that the report be received and noted. So all good. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Any questions, Councillor Brown?
Item 1.2, where you're referring to the Northern Territory Cattlemen's Association for Washdown Bays?
Yes, so I had a chat with the Cattlemen's Association. There's no washdown bays in Alice Springs, and so they wanted to know if council, it was a very early discussion, if council wanted to be a part of the process. I said, we'll certainly look at anything, but they've got to go back and do some work around where they want it. It could also be out of our municipality, but there's a large bucket of federal funds where it's 80-20 split. They'll pay 80, we pay 20, and then it becomes a revenue stream as well. So the Cattlemen's Association are going to go back and come back to us and hopefully present to council with an opportunity, and hopefully it's in our municipality, but it might be south. So we'll wait and see. Councillor Banks.
Thank you, and thank you for your changed format, talking about format on your recommendation. If I could just ask around one, if you would be open to including in that review a review of meeting structures generally, and where this comes from is that I'm getting increasing queries from the public around how to engage with council, and so it makes me think around what is perhaps changed and how well it's going. So we changed from having standing committees to not having standing committees to having twice monthly. Now we're having monthly meetings. Now a number of elected members are meeting one-on-one with officers to discuss stuff. What I'm asking is that we review this and look at how we can improve and make sure that we keep to the training in this simile from the training, to make sure that all elected members are included in discussions, that things are minuted. The thought bubble that I have is that I think that it would be good to have a discussion around subcommittees under the departments, to have not all elected members, but some elected members sit on subcommittees as an idea, to ensure that there is opportunity throughout the month to discuss in detail more information. So, Mayor, I'm asking if in that forum we could include a discussion around that as well, please.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to add the word after agenda, make it and comma meeting structure. And also noting that we are looking to do the village consultations with the community. So that is going to be the way that we certainly meet with the public. So happy to have that discussion. Councillor Buttar.
I was just wondering if we could have any more information around the letter that you received back from Minister Lawler about using CMS for the tree farm and where that's at.
So only from that letter.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all I've got. Mr. Seho, anything to add to that one?
Yes. Before I took a bit of leave last week, there's also a meeting set up with the Department of Education to talk about that specific project. It's been rescheduled now. I'm not sure when that's happening.
So would we be looking at moving the other tree farm and having it there, or expanding, or having to...
Hopefully two.
We haven't got to the detail yet. Yeah, but yeah, it could be.
It's also, you know, very underutilized space, and the amenity of the area is quite poor. So if there's anything that we can do to help work with the Northern Territory Government in that space. And also we have a problem. A good problem to have is we have too many people playing sport at the moment, not enough ovals. So that's that CMS one, which is a legacy motion from council that we want to engage. So that's why that's there. I certainly look forward to that, and be fitting with our greening strategy coming up as well. So, Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. I support the recommendations. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on the meeting with Qantas. Is there anything to feedback there? And also, will we be receiving a report back about the youth summit, or did you want to touch on that?
I can touch on that. I can get the director to touch on that as well, but... Yeah, Qantas were in town. It was after they'd cut all the flights and were getting some bad press in the media. So they come to Alice Springs, obviously, you get, you know, an open door for people, and they wanted to meet. Look, I had said to them that their flights are too expensive and they're not very nice corporate citizens all the time. So you know, we've had private conversations, Councillor Hopper, around how expensive it is when you need to duck off for an emergency. We're one of the only places as a tourism destination in Australia that don't have Jetstar. So I said that they should certainly look at Jetstar. And the fact is that some people will drive out of here to fly to, will drive to Ayers Rock to fly. And so, you know, their argument was that people should book in advance and XYZ, and that's fine for people who don't live here to say that, but you know how difficult it is when there's an emergency, you need to get out of here. So, yeah, I was just trying to put as much pressure on them as I could to be corporate citizens, because it does affect our livability, and send Jetstar here. Otherwise, I said we'll go hunting for another airline to come to Alice Springs. And absolutely, I will.
Thank you.
I also talked about, sorry, Council, I also talked about resident fares. Don't forget that you can fly to Darwin with a discount, and which is great. We can get 20% off if you're flying out of Alice Springs. Made the suggestion, so did TCA, that, you know, it's 4 kilometres further to Adelaide, so why can't we fly with resident fares to Adelaide? So that's on their agenda. They said it is difficult because it's in another state. Other places won't like it. I said, I don't care. Put it on your agenda to go to Adelaide as well. They said they'd talk about it. So if that happens, we'll wait and see.
Thank you. I guess I was just going to ask if there's anything more we can do as a council to put pressure on, but it sounds like you've left them with a few ideas.
Well, maybe we can go searching for another airline, Councillor Hopper, as a council. Genuine, like, why not? There's noting that there is other airlines that run a poll on news.com.au called Bonza. They had Alice Springs, Newcastle, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Byron, Tasmania, Perth, Adelaide, and there was one more. And there's a survey around Australia of where Bonza should fly. Alice Springs topped the list. So, you know, I think that that's got to be a wake-up call for everyone. And hopefully, you know, Bonza, we continue the conversation with Bonza. Cool. Thank you. So the recommendations, there is a slight change to the recommendations. You see on the screen, 3 recommendations moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Coffey. All those in favour? Any against? It's carried. Thank you. Orders of the day, that elected members and officers provide notification of matters to be raised in general business. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. In general business, I would like to give notice of a future motion to bring in relation to a community funded security patrol for Alice Springs, which includes dog patrol.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Community safety and dog patrol.
Councillor Brown.
I have a number of things I want to raise in general business. One of them is a bit of a discussion in the media recently around the Big Alice and where it went. Discussing with that. The social order, I think we want a little discussion around that and the general crime issue in town. Of an issue around the Papa Road and reporting issues. Some queries relate to Hartley Street car park riding, where we're at with that, and if we've got enough funding to cover it. Currently, there's a power and water crew in town doing the tree pruning. I'd like to have something to say about that. And then there was a final one for us. It was more a council, probably should have done in confidential, but it was read an email, forwarding, et cetera, for councillors. A bit of an issue that raised its head recently. Yeah, is that okay in the open?
Yeah, it is now. It'll be fine. Too late anyway, it is, isn't it? Personal emails. Councillor Little.
Yeah, I'd like to raise the lighting out at Canellan on the streets all around there.
Yeah.
And there's statues, and if we could get an update as to where we're up to it.
On which one, sorry?
The statues we spoke about.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Coffey?
Yeah, I'd like to raise the, or have a brief discussion on the nighttime activity in the CBD. A positive discussion on nighttime activity.
Okay, perfect. All right, 10 items. Oh, 11, Councillor Batar. I even looked at you, sorry. Moved chairs and I still missed you.
That's all right. I had a question. It might be more of a question without notice, but around general business item around the Tobol Traders Association, we've had questions from the traders about when that's happening.
Yeah. Perfect. Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. I've got one around dog welfare and the new cattle tick that's in town.
Dog welfare, yep. Okay.
Going to keep everyone in check. We've got 12 general business items. Okay, Mr. CEO, we have any memorials?
We do have one, Chair. Thank from you. Mary Meldrum.
Mary Irene Meldrum was born on the 5th of July in North Victoria and passed away on the 24th of August, 2022, aged 88. Mary made a lasting impression on the Mount Gambier and Alice Springs communities with her larger-than-life approach and was held in high admiration by those who knew and worked with her in business, entertainment, and numerous community fundraisers. Mary was a loving wife and was married to Peter Meldrum for 54 years and mother to Greg and Diane. In 1973, Mary became Australia's first woman auctioneer and worked as an estate auctioneer. Mary and Peter moved to Alice Springs from Mount Gambier, South Australia in the early 1990s to be closer to their daughter, Diane, where they run the old Charlie's Fast Food at Yiparinya and oversaw the opening of Pigley Supermarket. Following this, Mary was employed as a house parent at Yarrara College. Mary was president for 10 years at the Memo Bowls Club and became a life member. She was also a member of the Desert Sports Foundation, an ambassador for the Masters Games, a judge of the Camel Cup, a scrutineer for the Fink Desert Race, and featured for 20 years on the morning 8HA sports show. Mary had a strong community connection through her numerous fundraising activities, especially for those in need. She was fortunate to be the recipient of numerous awards, Centralian of the Year and Pride of Australia Medal, just to name a few, but she never undertook her community work for recognition, but rather for the betterment of the community. Through her community work, Mary made lifelong friends and formed a strong connection with Central Australia. Most of all, Mary loved spending time with her family and she'll be missed. Can we just rise for a minute silence? Please be seated. Mr. CEO, any petitions?
None, Chair.
Notices of motion. Councillor Banks, social order plan.
Thank you, Mayor Patterson. So So in reflection to this morning's conversation, which clearly is in confidential, but there is now, there was a conversation had around this particular issue, and there has been business that has been brought forward. I would like to withdraw the motion and welcome general business discussion should people wish to discuss. I don't need to discuss it in general business, Mayor Patterson. I just want to say that this comes on the back of the issues that were raised by member of public and then also my own family experience of my kids being on the bus and witnessing really extreme levels of violence. And so I thank elected members for taking direct action and choosing to work forward with the NT government. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Banks. We'll withdraw that motion, and I will say I do thank you for following the process of doing the paperwork and supplying all the supporting information, but it's being brought up in social order, so we'll discuss it then. Thank you. Second notice of motion, Councillor Hopper with Pokies moratorium.
Thank you. And just a question before I go forward. You were referring to a report earlier that we're expecting next month.
Yes. So when you provide the petition, the recommendation out of the meeting bylaws is that a report is then presented to council. So
yep.
I understand. I think the report was started and then the moratorium came into effect. So
yeah. So this isn't particularly time sensitive. I'm happy to defer it and deal with it at the time of the report, if that's more suitable. I guess it's just that the community, after that petition came forward last month, and obviously the moratorium came in before this meeting, there's still a desire there for council to be at the table from those 700 or 800 so residents who are really quite concerned. So yeah, I'd be happy to defer this and deal with it at the same time as the report, if that's more suitable.
Sure, that probably is more suitable, but I'll meet you halfway, Councillor Hopper, and I'll write to the Attorney General to come in and present to council. So
that'd be great. Yeah,
we've had a range of things, but obviously you want to talk about this. I'm happy to do that as an action as well whilst we're waiting to speed the process.
That'd be great. And I think then we can ask some more questions around the terms of the review and things like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Not in the minutes. 27.1, finance report. Can I have someone, Deputy Mayor?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I wanted to go back before that point.
Sure.
Just ask a question, clarifying process, procedural question. Just through you, there was no seconder on this motion. I'm just curious as, whilst I appreciate the mover can withdraw and or defer, a deferral may require a vote, and without a seconder, this is not a live motion. I'm just wondering, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I think if the mover has withdrawn it, then it's going to bring it back through another
second. Should I just amend it to be the part about inviting the, or is that just an action?
We'll have to vote on it. We'll go back a step to withdraw your motion and we'll withdraw Councillor Hopper's. I need consent of the majority. So can I have, if I just go back, thanks to 26.1 notice of a motion. So can I have someone move that we withdraw? You're happy to move? Move to Councillor Banks, seconder, Councillor Brown. All those in favour to withdraw? That's carried. The second one around Pokies moratorium. Can I have someone move to withdraw, Councillor Hopper?
It'll just be a deferment, I think, won't it? We'll deal with it next time.
Yeah, we can move to defer. So I moved Councillor Hopper to defer. Seconded Deputy Mayor. All those in favour to defer? Any against? Thank you. Thank you. I read that book every night before a meeting and I still get it wrong sometimes. 27.1, finance report. Can I have someone move to accept the finances? Move Deputy Mayor, seconded Councillor Batar. Any questions arising from the report? Councillor Coffey.
Thank you, Mayor. So just on page 165 under trade debtors, I just wanted to clarify the amount. The note after removal of doubtful debts is 678,272, but in the balance sheet, that's a slightly different figure. So I just wondered why the difference. So that's my first one. doubtful debts, sorry, the balance sheet talks about 751,291.
Where does it say 751,291? Councillor Coffey?
So under trade debtors on page 164 in the balance sheet, monthly balance sheet, 751,291, third yep. line down, and it's got note reference number two. When you go over the page to the note reference number two, the amount after removing doubtful debts is 678,272.
Thank you, Councillor Coffey. Director Taylor or Ms. Sherry?
Yeah, through the chair, we'll take that question on notice.
Thank you. Any other questions, Councillor Coffey?
Maybe just a couple of comments. And so now, given that I'm on the Risk and Audit Committee, I think we're going to be talking about some of the finances in that subcommittee, which will be good. But I do think that the traffic light system needs to reflect not just where, you know, income or expenditure is favourable to the budget, but I think what's more important is where there's a deviation of more than a certain percentage, then it should be flagged as being red rather than green. So income, well, let's talk about expenditure. So employee expenses, when you have a look at this month, is well down, which, you know, on one hand you could say, well, that's great, we've saved we've saved $926,880 year to date in employee expenses. Great, and that, you know, goes back into the budget. But the question in my mind there is, well, okay, clearly that's an issue because we can't fill positions. How are we then managing that those services? And so I think that's showing as green. I think that should show as red. And I suppose the question is, through the chair, what's the status of employee expenses and why is it so low and is it impacting services out to the public? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Coffey. Mr. Seale on that point.
Thank you, Chair. To your question, I consider that a fair point. The reality is we have engaged additional people where we need to, for instance, in safety and all those sort of areas, so we can maintain our, you know, obligations. But I do think there should be a bit of a story told and we can do that better. So we'll take that on.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Councillor Bittar.
I just had a question regarding the capital expenses being much higher than what was anticipated and wondering what the reasons behind that was.
Thank you. Director Taylor.
Councillor Bittar, are you referring to page 163?
It's just not quite clear which items weren't anticipated or budgeted for.
Through the chair, our manager of finance will respond to that.
Thank you. This is like a variance between the budget. So at the moment, our budget is split evenly across 12 months. So the expenditure is higher due to the fact that, you know, there has been budgeted vehicles purchased, but the budget doesn't reflect that at this point in time because of the even split across the 12 months.
Can we look at that as part of the review to make sure that the split, it's not even split and is more reflective of the month to month?
Yes, with the new budget module, this will be rectified.
It's the same point we have, Councillor Bittar, with the Aquatic and Leisure Centre, because it splits over 12 months. So for the first 4 months of the financial year, it looks really bad, but we're expecting it to be really bad. Then come summer, it booms. So look forward to that change. Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions. Are we missing the mayor's credit card report, or is that not a thing yet?
Still don't know. We're still waiting for it. So,
okay, thank you. And in cash reserves, internally restricted, I know this is all being reviewed, but the $989 for the regional waste management plant and equipment, I thought we allocated some of that out to a digger and a truck in our budget. Is that reflected there?
No. So two things have been intertwined there, Councillor Hopper. So what happened is we initially... We initially budgeted for a shed,
yep.
And then we changed that budget for the excavator and truck. So we didn't take that out of reserves, out of that reserve line item.
Okay, thank you. And on the same page, security and safety lighting upgrade, that 3.1, is that around the street lights?
Yep.
Yep. Cool. And then just two on the following page in the EFT payment summaries. Our new tender policy, is it above 150 or 200,000 that we go to tender now?
150,
sorry?
150.
Yeah. So my question, I guess, is do we go to tender for our insurance? I know that some other councils do. I'm just wondering if we do that as a practice.
Yes, we do. I'm getting head nods, Councillor Hopper. We do go to tender.
Cool. Thank you. And I'll just check my notes. I think that was it. One more. Page 175, the investments report. Have we got a time frame for our new investment policy that we've been looking at?
Director Taylor, I think they're coming back to a future forum in the second one in November.
Okay, great. Because just noting the majority are due to roll over in the new year, so it'd be great if we can have some direction by then. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. I have one question back on the very first page, Director Taylor. I'm happy for you to take it on notice, but it'd be nice to have the answer before the next meeting. Is the green income includes LRCI Phase 2. We're also going to get LRCI Phase 3. That's the Aquatic and Leisure Centre. The FAGS money for roads and general. So that general part of the FAGS grant is one of the only untied funds that we'll get from from the federal government. That's based on population. Just wondering because we don't have to apply for that. They just give us that based on population. So what are we looking to spend our FAGS money on this year?
Through the chair, we'll take that on notice.
Thank you. And can we also have Mr. CEO, the roads to recovery, how that'll be broken down? Because I know Councillor Batar has spoken about it quite a lot. There's some roads that do flood. There's probably four that we've got presented with previously.
Yep.
So just to see what that roads to recovery will be spent on.
Can do. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions in regards to finance? So that was moved, Deputy Mayor, seconded Councillor Batar. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you. 28.1, the CEO's report. There's two recommendations there. I'll take the report as read. Can I have a mover? Mover, Councillor Brown. Seconded, Councillor Little. Any discussion from the CEO report? Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, just on page 178 and the council connects. And we talk about 200 total printed copies were distributed. And we're looking at delivering to more venues. I'm just cognizant, especially as we move into a by-election, about, you know, with the fact that we have no newspaper, a lot of people aren't necessarily on social media. So I'm just wondering whether that 200 doesn't seem many. So I think about some of those other cohorts of people, I don't know, old timers, Council of the Aging, et cetera, whether, you know, we're distributing those newsletters to the appropriate place, whether that's something we should review. Are we comfortable that that we're reaching the cohort of people that we should? That's my question.
Thank you. Through yourself, Chair. Now, we have been expanding both the online and the paper to some extent. We hope we've got a number of iterations of stages to hope to reach out potentially to, you know, schools and things like that. This is the first stage of many, we hope. So that is being considered by the communications team.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Coffey. Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. Just page 208, the last item there on the open resolutions tracking sheet, the advocacy statement. I was just wondering where that's up to in terms of, I think we're going to develop our strategic plan, which we have, and then work on this document as sort of like the glossy project prospectus that we're seeking to get funded. So a bit of an update on that one.
Mr. CEO.
Through yourself, Chair. We've got, we're planning to get the corporate business plan to you in October. After that time, we'll have a lot more information to start to put together the advocacy document. So it'll kick off shortly after that, we hope.
And just further your point, Councillor Hopper, I think one thing that we should be doing every year, and I don't think it's a whole lot of work, we tie it to the strategic plan, we tie it to the project prospectus, but we should be having a, we should be supplying the Northern Territory Government and the federal government pre-budget as our pre-budget wish list, because then they know also what our plans are for the next 12 months, and that can be a shiny A4 paper, but just an outline of our plans, the pre-budget submission, which ties back to that advocacy piece. Councillor Hopper, I agree with you. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Just going to the CEO's report, point two, recommendations in relation to the multicultural community organisation. There's a recommendation there, and I'm just curious. It's to be reviewed every 12 months. Are we in the review phase, or are we just going through and recommending? I'm just wondering, this is the group that didn't want an elected member onto their board. Nothing, no disrespect or against the CEO representing us, that's not an issue. But I'm just wondering, part of the review is that, can that be made as a review? Just curious. And if it were to be a delegate, who would that be likely to be? An appropriate delegate to the CEO, what does that look like?
Director of Community Services, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Mr. CEO.
So there's two parts to that. It is something for council to consider. The intent was that 207, thank you. We received a letter from the Multicultural Association. They were happy with what they'd seen from their side, at least. And that the CEO would be myself, of course, or potentially the Director of Community Development would be the other person to attend that, if that was the will of council.
Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. I'm fine with the CEO, or what he feels is appropriate fit, and the director would be most fitting either way. I'm not questioning that. I'm just wondering, given that they had made the point, as far as I'm aware, that an elected member is not preferred. So I'm just wondering the logic behind that. I'm just curious, because potentially an appropriate delegate of the CEO could be the mayor. So just wondering what the reason is, and following through with that, not to exhaust that point, there's also a report here from the Property Council, and I'm just chasing to see if there's any recommendations in relation to this. Very glossy, lots of information, bit of paperwork that we've got that you presented to us. Is there anything that comes out of that may be a recommendation, or we're just noting that for information? It seems a lot of work, a lot of information. A survey has been conducted, and it is affecting. We are some of the Alice Springs is the topic of their survey, so it seems most of it. So,
thank you. So the first point. I spoke to Mona about the elected member, and they are just nervous about the political aspect of it, and that's why they wanted
the legal,
the political aspect.
Oh, political.
And that's why they were happy with an elected member and with the operations, and a lot of the stuff that comes out of it is operational. So that was that point. But regards to the Property Council, Mr. CEO,
I hadn't formed a definitive position on the Property Council report. I thought it was useful information for elected members to be aware of, but if there's any motion that you'd like to put together, of course, I'd be welcome to, open to doing whatever you need, what needs to be done.
Through you, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I think the information there would have to be taken on as verifiable. And if we were to consider it on a serious level, we could take recommendations and include it into, because it does talk about law and order and how this is affecting our community. For some reason, they've decided that this is an area that they want to tackle, perhaps rightly so, because housing and community safety is paramount. So they are very much together. So, but they don't seem to provide solutions. They've given us the problem. That's fantastic. I'm just not sure how they see councils can be involved in the solution making. So it's all very well to tell everyone what the problem is. That's great. We know what the problem is. Thanks for telling us what our problems are. But are you offering a solution? Are you proposing council can work in this area with different areas, or are you just repeating what we already know? Thanks very much for coming. I'm just wondering, you know, yeah, I'd hate to see a lot of good work go to waste, and I'd love to see how council can get involved. These people haven't done that, to my understanding, unless I'm happy to be proven wrong. Please show me where they're asking us as a council to get involved and to, within our powers, effectively address the issues that they've raised are everyone's concerns. Yeah.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. I have spoken to Ms. Palmer after this was tabled, and I sent her the Live Work Alice stuff that we did through our workforce attraction piece with Impaja. Look, I've extended an invitation to Ruth whenever she's in town to meet up. We can also Zoom whenever we want, but I agree there's not many solutions in there, sort of telling us things we already know. So, yeah, I've just taken the report as noted, really, Deputy Mayor. So have you got anything you'd like to add to it?
No, I don't disagree with your comments, Deputy Mayor. I think it's a piece of information more than anything. I think the earlier discussions or the ones that we might have later on today are actually trying to gain ground somewhere.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Bittar.
I was just wondering if we could have some further information around the plans for the by-election publicity, since it's nominations close on the 7th of October. It's coming up quite quickly.
Mr. CEO.
Yes, correct. So we do have a by-election coming. There is information coming out. I think that I'll pass to Director Taylor in terms of some of the details, but I think it's an important issue that you raise.
Director Taylor.
Thank you. Through the chair, if you look at through the SLA, that details the advertising and what the Northern Territory Electoral Commission will be doing. Also, we will be, this will be in our Council Connects and on our website, as well as in our social media. So you should see something in the next couple of days.
Are we going to, and an information session, are we absolutely going to boost it everywhere? Because as I said, it's 4 weeks and 2 days until the election. It is worth noting. I'll ask the media to talk about it tomorrow. But yes, it's obviously very important that we get the democratic stuff right as well. So thank you, Councillor Bittar. Councillor Hopper.
Could I just check something that Councillor Bittar just said? I thought that election, it opened for nominations on the 7th of October, not closed for nominations. Is that, someone got that in front of them?
Through the chair, it opens on the 7th.
Okay.
Thank you. And it's open for how long?
Close of nominations on the 14th.
So just for a week. Thanks.
1 week. Early voting commences on the 17th in Darwin. And then election day is the 29th. Declaration of election result will be Friday the 11th. And so we'll have a new elected member for the November meeting, if people put their hand up, if there's an election. Councillor Coffey.
So just a quick one, following on from the Deputy Mayor's questions about this report from the Property Council. I do note that this was a survey of their members, and we don't think it actually says how many completed the survey, but I was very surprised when the question around how does your organisation what does your organisation currently do to develop workforce skills? And no one uses apprentices or trainees. So I don't know, that doesn't sound right to me. And, you know, in my mind, that's should be a key focus of any organisation, growing your own, using those sort of mechanisms to skill up and train local staff. You can bring in some people, but then that creates all those other issues about where do they live, et cetera, et cetera. So if we can grow our own, I think that should be a key strategy. So I just think that's a pretty big gap when I read that report.
Thank you. Councillor Coffey.
Can you comment on that?
Please, Councillor Banks.
Thank you, Councillor Coffey. And Mayor, we're through you. On our apprenticeship scheme, our program that we were developing, where is that at? So there was the last motion that was put to council was on that particular creating pathways, and we were going to prioritise that. So an update would be great.
Great. I'll take that on notice and provide an update in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just following on to relation to the Property Council of Australia. So I recall asking the question in terms of membership for this organisation from Alice Springs and whether Alice Springs Town Council was in fact able to or is a current member. And I remember the answer was no, we're not. And I'm just curious, as it's obviously largely a top end membership. And so again, trying to understand how and top end based sort of it's largely representing, obviously it's Property Council of Australia, but the NT division, which is largely in a top end membership. I'm just wondering how we can get closer to them by way of membership or if there's a fee. So the next time they do a survey, we might be involved in input in the survey, perhaps even if we didn't get opportunity this time. The other thing too is property and obviously it promotes itself here as a body, a peak body that represents up to an industry that champions, that employs up to 1.4 million Australians. And it's a very important industry and it talks about homes, retirement villages, shopping centres, office buildings, et cetera, and it goes on. I mean, I'd love to see some of that being developed here in Alice Springs. So how can we use their strong influence and power and strong connections that they seem to be perhaps promoting here to our advantage? So I'm just wondering how this property council, we can turn this into an opportunity rather than just simply a bit of information from a very nice glossy promotional brochure, can I add?
We can request
plenty of pictures, which I like.
Also, I mean, we can request a meeting with Ruth from the property council and you can ask those questions again.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor.
I'm just wondering if it's a formal letter saying, hey, look, we'd like to become members. How can you help us lobby the government to get some of these things done as well? Trying to find a solution rather than just continuously identifying issues without solutions.
It's like a lot of organisations that are NT in their title. It's very top-end focused. And I think if you go to their website and you have a look at what their pillars are and their five action items, five or seven, I can't remember. It's very, very Darwin focused. So appreciate that they are the capital city, but yes, I think any other organisation that will promote us and try to help out, I'm happy to be a part of. So we can request that meeting with Ms. Palmer. Thank you. Okay. So the CEO's report has been moved and seconded. No other discussion. All those in favour? To accept the report and the second recommendation. Any against? Thank you. 28.3.1, the community development report to be received and noted. I'll go to you first, Director Battle, to speak about the Youth Summit, just to give an update on to Councillor Hopper's question earlier.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Really pleased to give an update about the Youth Summit. It was held on Friday and overall it was a really successful day. Certainly the public holiday the day before provided a bit of a logistical challenge and impacted our numbers slightly. But we ended up with about sort of 60 young people who came together at the Youth and Community Centre up on Wills Terrace. And it all went really well. We had some great guest speakers, but for me, the real gold was the breakout sessions between morning tea and lunch, where we, the young people did have an opportunity to talk to various stakeholders, officers, around their concerns and their aspirations for Alice Springs in terms of things like community safety, education, recreation, the redevelopment of the CBD, all these sorts of things. And some of the insight that these young people had was pretty phenomenal. In terms of next steps, it is the first part of this conversation. So over the next couple of months, we plan to take the Youth Summit on the road. Certainly on the people who came on Friday, most of them were sort of secondary school students, but we're now looking to engage with young people who aren't engaged in school. So it might be people who are disengaged from school or employment. It might be young people in care, young people in detention, young people with lived experience of disability. Young people identify as LGBTIQ. We want to make sure that we're getting as many different views from young people as possible, and we'll test some of the things that came out on Friday. We'll then put together a bit of a report that will come to council, but equally that we can disseminate more widely just around what young people aspirations are and all of these different things. So it becomes a little bit of an advocacy document and something that that we can continue to use to make sure that young people's views are represented.
Thank you, Director, and congratulations to everyone involved. I was there for most of the day. It was pretty successful. And I think that the Youth Roundtable who were here also had a very good time. So I'm sure it'll grow into bigger and better the coming years. But, yeah, congratulations to everyone involved for that one. Councillor Hopper, you have your hand raised.
Thank you, and thank you for that, Director. Just a quick question on your report around the assertive outreach program that the Rangers are participating in. Just wondering what sort of, I know that's based on a Darwin model and it's used in other places around the country. I'm just wondering what sort of training was provided to the Rangers in terms of the methodology of assertive outreach.
Director Battle.
So in terms of the assertive outreach, the Rangers' presence there is not so much. We've got patrols, joint patrols going out. So there are other agencies that are probably doing more of that direct work with the people. The idea was the Rangers would just have a bit more of a background presence in case there are any issues. So it hasn't really been them conducting the surveys with the people.
Thank you. Can I follow on from that? So that's, okay, that clarifies that. So they're not actually doing the assertive outreach, which is which is an approach basically that someone would be, which based in on the Darwin Model Council, I think they have two positions funded to do that work. So we're not actually up to that yet. It's more gathering of information by the sounds of it.
I think so we met with the City of Darwin probably about a month ago to hear about that program. This is very different. So they do have those ongoing positions. This is more just around the work that's been done with a number of different agencies being led by Department of Housing around trying to get data from people who are sleeping rough, around why they're sleeping rough, what other supports have they tried, why are they in town, that kind of thing. So I think even though the words are the same, the sort of intent is different.
Great, thanks for that.
Mr. CEO, on that point?
Just by way of background for everyone, that information that we gleaned from the City of Darwin on the program, we did pass on to the Department of Territory Families, who are part of the social order program that's playing out now. So they are aware of that and they've got that information as well. So thank you.
Thank you. I've just got a question. I've just lost it in the Rangers piece. Firstly, I'm sure Councillor Little will be very happy to see that 42 cars have been removed in the last quarter, abandoned cars. So well done to the Rangers there. I do note as well that there's been 50 trolleys removed. So we've got 50 trolleys. What I want to know, well, I know that there is one particular shopping centre that don't have their geotech fence reinstalled, but they're working to put that in. Are we holding on to the trolleys at the depot, the 50 trolleys? And are we fining them, or if they're not getting them, are we crushing them?
I might have to take some of that on notice. Certainly we do have trolleys in our possession. I think there's some here and there's some at the depot. And we are working through working with them in their first instance to get them returned. But yeah, we're still exploring options on a couple of other fronts, particularly fines.
Okay. But it is good to see that that is being addressed. So thank you. No, it was a bugbearer of many. And also the shade sales at the Aquatic Centre look fantastic. They can't speak highly enough of shade sales, and they're nice and bright. So absolutely serve their purpose. Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, so I've got a few questions and a couple of comments, I suppose. So first of all, the rangers. I think the report about the activity of the rangers, and you touched on some of that, Mayor, is really good to see. Clearly, there's been an increased focus on some of those areas. I do know there's still a couple of vacancies in there. So I think, you know, in our sort of response to supporting the NT government around antisocial behaviour and other activities, I think, you know, those filling those positions as a priority would be important. But I think congratulations to the rangers on that increased activity, and removing cars and shopping trolleys is great. Just moving on, also, this is a comment as well, but page 228, and this goes to the library, and I just think it's really promising to see some of the positive feedback that's received. So there's three comments there. You know, someone, a visitor, talks about how our library, you put our libraries to shame with all your amazing offerings. Boys love the library and books. Because you've opened them up to so many experiences, keep it up. Also, your book return is phenomenal. I want one at my library. So, you know, there's a number of those comments. So similarly, I think, you know, seeing those in the report sort of gives us some confidence about how things are going, the services that we're delivering. So congratulations again to the library staff. Moving on, and the Mayor touched on the shade sales. I just wondered whether they're at this at the Aquatic Leisure Centre. So part of the reason was to protect the infrastructure. So just a question whether that's achieved that. Does, you know, it's good to have shade, but is it achieving that other objective?
Touch wood, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Absolutely. We haven't had any further breakages of what was happening with the rock throwing. So that's been really successful. And just as another aside, we are actually interviewing for rangers next Monday. So we're looking to boost our team. We're pretty excited.
Great. Thank you. Can I keep going? Page 247. There's some averages. So on page 247, there's a facility hygiene rating. Once again, this is the Aquatic and Leisure Centre, and customer service rating. And I think the target is an average of 80%. Just don't know about the hygiene rating, but if my maths is correct, that hasn't been achieved. And in fact, there's one week there where it looks like the rating's down to 2. So I get why there might be some ups and downs, but it doesn't look like that target KPI has been achieved.
4 out of 5. It says.
Yeah, 80%, 4 out of 5. Yeah, it's my maths. 4 out of 5, if you want to call it that. But if you're looking at the hygiene rating, it doesn't get up to 4, it's under 4.
I'm happy to respond to that. So we don't get a lot of people filling in some of the surveys. So sometimes it doesn't take much to really impact that rating, as you can probably appreciate. But absolutely, certainly we have had some issues with having access to cleaners at the moment. I think like most places around town, we've been hit by some staff shortages. But yeah, no, it's certainly on our radar, and it's something we're always looking to continue to improve.
Yeah, okay. All right. If the numbers are pretty small, then statistically it's not great, is it? It doesn't necessarily hold valid.
No, and it's a problem. As you imagine, often you go into facilities and people are asked to fill in surveys about how they have cleanly. Not everyone's going to do that. Certainly we have talked about other ways to make it easier for people to do that, whether it's touch pads like you see in airports, that kind of thing. But yeah, certainly sometimes getting people to fill in those surveys is a bit of a challenge.
Yep. All right, thank you.
Any more, Councillor Coffey?
I think think there's one more.
I can go to Councillor Batar while you're trying to find it.
Yeah, okay.
Councillor Batar.
Sorry, yeah, I just wanted to congratulate you on the successful youth summit that went really, really well. And it was really, really professionally put on. And the youth seemed to really enjoy it. And also congratulations on getting the Rangers, that Ranger report was quite good. It really has improved over the term. It'd be good to see with extra staff that it continues to increase. And the more regular patrols are fantastic because we have had a lot of feedback about not seeing the Rangers. They haven't been very visibly present over the last year. So it'd be great to be able to have the staff there so that that can continue. And the other question I did have was about the trolleys, and because there is one particular offender and you, on any given day you can see about 20 or 30 or more around the CBD, and can we work a bit more closely with that particular business to make sure that their trolleys are collected so that we are not their trolley collectors?
Correct.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, absolutely. We are in regular communication with them. They're also struggling with this issue. Certainly, it would be my intention to probably sit down with the manager of Rangers and a representative from that organisation to really talk about other things that can be done so that we're just not chasing our tail and we're actually trying something a bit different. So it's certainly on my radar.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Batar. Councillor Coffey, have you found it?
Yeah, two more things I found.
Said only one.
Sorry. The volunteer report. On page 274, which was really good, and this is about volunteers in council, supporting council business, and talks about a monetary value of $12,587 and number of volunteers, which is great. I just wonder how we acknowledge their contribution, especially given we're coming towards the festive season, and do we do something special for them or can we? I think volunteers are pretty important.
Absolutely. And if you, all of the research says it's not just about recruiting volunteers, it's about making sure that you acknowledge them so you retain them. And for me, we can certainly do something around the festive season, but one of the things I probably would like to see us do in May, the start of May, which is National Volunteer Week, is maybe thinking about something that we can do each year, and like certificates of service, that kind of thing. We can start embedding that now. So we're actually keeping a record of how long people volunteer for, how many events they attend, and doing that annual kind of recognition program as part of probably National Volunteer Week.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I think it is important.
Could have another mayoral award event.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe a deputy mayor award, perhaps something. No. Last one. So page 280. Once again, I don't know about my maths, but this is around sporting facility days in use, and that last column, days in use per quarter. I don't know if there's 144 days in a quarter, but clearly that's not a day. I just think
total bookings. If you use Flynn Drive, for example, that sport area, so four sports use it. So they're using it every day.
Yeah, and so it just says days in use per quarter in that last column.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I just think, can we?
Noted, thank you.
Fix
that.
We'll
amend that.
Thank you. It's a long year, that's the quarter. Councillor Hopper.
Thank you. And sorry if I missed this, I had to duck out a second ago, but just in regards to the library report, is there some anecdotal evidence as to why there's 2,000 extra visitors between July and August?
Councillor Hopper, I might need to take that on notice. Certainly, if I'm thinking anecdotally, just the events that are held during that period, like things like Fink and some of the bigger events bring lots of people into town. And we certainly know that often these visitors will go to the library to access internet. That's probably one of the things off the top of my head, but I'm happy to have a chat to the manager and find out if there's any other reasons for that increase. And certainly things like school holidays and the extra events that we hold during that period.
Thank you. And also just, I guess, off the back of the conversations we have about from time to time about the size of the library, it would be interesting to know if we have an identified capacity per month so we can sort of see where we're what times of year we're hitting that peak, and maybe being a bit creative about how we use the outdoor space a bit more, things like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I have someone move the community development report? Moved Councillor Coffey, seconded Councillor Buttar. Any further discussion? No? All those in favour? To any against? Thank you. 28.3.3, the election signage policy. Fitting time since we're talking about a by-election. No? That's... Director Taylor, this aligns the Alice Springs Town Council signage policy along with Northern Territory Government. That's
through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you. I think that's fitting and very sensible. Councillor Hopper, your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a quick question on that policy. I hadn't read it, but, or maybe I did read it last time I ran for an election, was around the use of spikes, that there had to be timber or metal, and that doesn't seem to be articulated in this anywhere. And I guess just to commenting on the danger that is posed when those signs get trashed and there are wooden spikes or metal spikes sticking out of the ground, I think it is a something we have to pay attention to, and maybe we do need to have some tools and mechanisms there for making sure that that doesn't happen so often.
Thank you, Councillor Hopper. I do agree. Star pickets are dangerous, so it doesn't say in here that what is available to be stuck into the ground. I can't see it.
Through the chair, we can take that on notice and amend this accordingly.
Okay. Thank you.
And sorry, just to add to that, I think one of the other reasons was around our irrigation systems. So it was that, you know, if you're hammering in a timber spike, you're less likely to get through a pipe than if you're using metal with a picket driver. So there was two reasons, I think, why that was articulated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Councillor Hopper. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. It's during election time, it's an opportunity for the community to be the most artistic, best, and see how they can draw pretty pictures on candidates' faces, so it seems. I just wonder how we can address the issue by not... We're, as candidates, you're forced now to place your promotional call flu signs on at ground level, and they just get damaged. It just happens. So the reality is none of that would happen if we were able to actually put them up high. Now, we don't want to necessarily put them up in trees, but I don't see why we can't put them up on specifically located power and water lighting poles. So it does create an absolute danger and nuisance, and it's costly. It's expensive to constantly have your signs be damaged, to run around and get them repaired. And I understand that, and we would have all experienced it when we were running through different elections. So I don't see any advantages of placing them on the ground. Either we ban them altogether, or we make them so that they're so small that they can hang on little poles, which is making them irrelevant. But in South Australia, they're all they actually use the infrastructure of power and water or street lighting and signs. So long as they're strategically placed and again following the rules, not close to corners and whatever, it's logical. It doesn't harm trees, so you stay away from trees. But we are creating an absolute hazard, as has just been mentioned. And the damage and the cost that's involved in that, and the creativity that comes out of it is quite humorous. I have always kept my creative, never thrown them away. There's some very interesting artistic. Maybe they'll be worth some money in a few years' time. But I grow different features on my face whenever I run for an election. But I think seriously, the issue is why do we have to place them on a ground level? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, we don't, but there's the confusion around being on what road. And so we can't talk about putting on the light poles
because we don't own the infrastructure. That's Power and Water's policy, that they don't have, they don't accept anything within 16 metres of an intersection and on none of their infrastructure.
Sure.
So that's a conversation to have with Power and Water.
I think so.
The second part is the some people, they should know this if they're running an election, but they don't, is the different roads. And so having a uniform policy to say they can't go on any trees anywhere is probably easier than saying you can put it on a tree on a council road, but you can't put it on a tree on a highway.
And I don't think you should put them on trees at all. I Mr. Mayor, I just think that they, what has been proven in the last election was a tremendous amount of damage and hazard and cost. So it just doesn't make any sense to have them at ground level because they're accessible to everybody, all and sundry. So to avoid all of the dangers, either you ban them all together and have no signs, which is a shame because I think the declaration of an election in the absence of a newspaper, as soon as the call through signs come out, that's how you get your message across. It's the festival of elections, I call it. So that's where I think we're at. I think we need to start working towards getting them up on polls. Maybe not this election, but in the future.
Thank you. Any further discussion? No. Can I have someone move the election? Moved, Councillor Batar. Seconded, Councillor Coffey. All those in favour to accept the report? Any against? Carried. Moving on to 28.3.5, the Multicultural Action Plan. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. For someone who was born overseas and has spent 49 years on this island, to constantly be reminded that you're not 100% Australian, it's a bit of a smack in the face every single time. But one thing that I can tell you that might be helpful to those who want to understand living in a multicultural world, over the weekend, we were meeting as two families, and in the future, proudly, we will have 5 different cultures in one family when two people come together. So there will be Turkish, Philippines, Italian, Lebanese, and Australian. And so try to plan a wedding to satisfy 4 different cultures, 3 different religions. It's going to be good luck, James. That's your made your bed, you sleep in it. But what's fun about it is that it's just brilliant to have so much diversity and to be so open and so embracing. One key thing about being multicultural in Australia, where you speak English and the rules are set, you've got to have a strong of inference on integration and the ability to learn the language of English. You've got to get those kids. I mean, Greeks have Sunday Greek school. Lebanese have Sunday Lebanese school. You go and it's great that they're learning their cultures, and we shouldn't we should encourage that. But we need to also impress upon them that English is the number one language here and spoken in Australia, and you need to learn it. And it empowers you. It's actually a disadvantage if you do not embrace this culture being Australia, this language being English, and you've got to be able to read and write to get through this. And it's not just good enough to go to school. Mums and dads need to learn this language better than most because they're making really important decisions for these kids. And usually often it's English correspondence that they're engaged in. And they have to run off and find some other higher, better speaking English cousin or relative who tries to translate whatever legal document they have because they haven't got the wayward awareness of it all. So it's a complete disadvantage. And one of the things that I jumped on early in my life was to make sure I get rid of the accent as quickly as I could, really focused on that, and to learn. And after I left matric, or year 12, I went back into year 12 5 years after I left school because I realized I was not getting very far and everybody spoke English. And I sounded like I spoke English. I probably made noise out of my mouth. You might be able to say that I'm doing that often here. But the thing is, it's really important to actually understand the language coming at you. And very often we think we're saying something, but we're actually saying someone else is hearing something completely different. And that comes to education. As a multicultural community and as an organization in our business where we have to deal with many, many different cultures and try to explain to them legal documents written in English, residential tenancy agreements, bylaws, a whole range of things, we say to them, the first sentence is, if your English is poor, don't be embarrassed. ask me 1,000 times, or get someone who speaks better English so they can translate. We actually want people to translate that document, because they've got to know what they're signing. They've got to know, understand that the resident tenancy agreement can have some clear challenges if you break it. So I'm sure there's hundreds of other examples, but a policy that I'm now going to refer to, this policy here, it doesn't go far enough in terms of acknowledging the English language and the importance of teaching and learning and embracing the English language. Possibly one of the best things I've ever seen in Australia was when they got rid of the soccer particular countries where we had lots of hooliganism and violence at soccer games. And so they got rid of the Croatian and the Greek and the Italian or whatever it was. And they named them Australian teams, the Australian after Australian cities and suburbs and whatever. So now you've got Melbourne and you've got Sydney and all the rest of it, FC Adelaide. That automatically improved the situation. People embrace that, and you weren't seeing different nationality flags being flown at soccer where they were just coming out of a civil war and naturally attacked each other at the game. So I'd like to impress upon you, good people, that it's lovely that everybody's embracing multiculturalism. It's lovely that everybody wants to encourage different religions and different cultures, and that's great. But it's also important to understand that we also want to be Australian and we want to be accepted. And sometimes inadvertently you're saying to us, yeah, you're still a Lebanese Australian. You're not really 100% Australian. Or you're an Italian. What's my grandson going to be if ever he's born? He's going to be a Turkish, Italian, Filipino, Lebanese, born in maybe Brunswick. You know, like, come on, mate, what are you? But he's going to bear it for Collingwood if his other grandfather gets on top of it. So we have to make sure that doesn't happen. So do you see what I'm saying? I think it's important for everyone to understand that the English language is one of the most important things if you're on this island to learn, and the culture of Australia is unique. And one of the proudest moments last council we had was to include and introduce, welcome the Indigenous, the Central Islander, and obviously welcome to country as part of the Australia Day ceremony. So to me, that was important. One of the most important things is to learn about who Australia is, and firstly, it's learn the Indigenous history, and secondly, embrace the English history and be good at it. Be good at it is the most important thing. So I'm hopeful that I haven't offended anybody who's put this document together. I'm hopeful that this hasn't offended anybody at all, but I just want you to know how it feels from my side of it. And, I'll quickly change into a full Arabic dialect, and I have no problems at all. I'll speak full-blown Arabic in one household, and I'll speak full-blown English in another household, and we don't sort of flinch at that. But I'd like to stop being somehow inadvertently being segregated. I want to be included. So just my bit, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and apologies to your grandson if he's going to go for Collingwood. That's what I took out of that. Mr. CEO, I do note that we do already have a budget line, multicultural budget line, so we don't need to adopt that in the recommendation. And as this is a plan and going to be endorsed by council, I just wonder if because we want to get into the nuts and bolts, whether it should go to a forum to have that nitty gritty discussion and then bring it back. Because I think the plan is very, very good start. But I think that there'll be elected members who want to get into the finer details and probably add some things as well.
Look, as officers, we would recommend that. We would endorse that. So to have that input from elected members from a whole different set of backgrounds, so that would be something we'd happy to arrange.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I think the set out, though, is the priority and time frame. It's a good layout. I know that follows the public art master plan, which has been pretty well received in this chamber. So it just gives an outline to us all, and we know what we're doing, know what we're going to budget for the next year. So I look forward to that discussion. Councillor Banks.
Thank you. Tapping into previous conversations around employment opportunities, I notice in diversity principle number 5 on 299, we're looking to survey staff to ensure that the workforce continues to reflect the cultural diversity of Alice Springs. Given the conversations we've had around one that I've flagged around Indigenous employment strategies, or the need for an Indigenous employment strategy, and looking at how to diversify our workforce, if we're going, I support going to a forum, and I'll speak to that as well, but I don't know if there's any capacity beforehand before it going to forum for some consideration to be given through the appropriate director around incorporating our broader, a component that we can actually start reaching towards broader strategies around our workforce to, so I've had a look through, rather than it just being one component under policy principle number 5, that in fact we look to give some intent towards broadening our multicultural diversity on our council as well, Mayor.
No, keep going.
That's my point. I just like it included. And then I guess if we can, I know it's reflected really nicely in principle 5 again, but on the second page 300, where it speaks about actively support initiatives that talk about relationships and cross-cultural understanding by bringing together, and this is the line I like, First Nations, migrant and refugee groups. So if we can try and bring that more through the whole document would be great, because I think we really need to be speaking, trying to work towards understanding the differences that we have culturally locally as well. So I think when we talk multiculturally, we think about people from other countries, but we've got multicultures around us as well. So they're my comments, Mayor.
I agree, Councillor Banks. Councillor Bittar.
Okay. I would support it going to a forum so that we can discuss more of these issues. And I also just wanted to ask about the survey results, because a number of things that come up in the survey results were things that are just business as usual that we, the council, should be addressing, and how, what is the plan to address some of those things?
Thank you. Director Battle?
So can you give me an example? Sorry, what ones are you?
So there was some specific feedback around the spoken English workshop that happens at the library, and also specific feedback around the ASOL as well as the parks, and as well as feedback on the particulars of the citizenship ceremony that all could be addressed anyway without having to have a multicultural action plan.
Absolutely, and certainly there's work that we're already doing with multicultural groups and language and lots of support. As you mentioned, there are programs that we run out of the library in terms of improving spoken English, that kind of thing. So we are actually doing a lot of these things, but with the consultation that was probably held, it was with a group of, like, with the consultancies. They probably wouldn't have always known to be able to tell people that at the time.
Thank you. Any supplementary, Councillor Bittar? Thank you. Okay, so we'll change that to defer the motion to a forum. So can I have someone move to defer? Councillor Banks, seconded, Deputy Mayor, all those in favour? Thank you. We'll break for lunch, 12:30. We could be back by... no, we'll keep going. Technical services report. Sorry. Sorry, we'll keep going just through the technical services report. It's a few pages there. So the technical services report to council to be received and noted. Moved, Councillor Hopper. Seconded, Councillor Bittar. Any business arising, Councillor Hopper? I took advantage. I hope that's okay.
That's fine. Just on the first page, a question around the shade structures. I know we sort of to and fro a little bit about that in terms of being able to get the materials. Are they going to be shade or tin roof structures in the end?
Tin. They're going to be like tin. What we've got already, the big ones. There's different sizes at different parks, but they'll be tin. And I think the director's looking at alternate arrangements going forward. We use shade cloth. Great. So these 13 will be the big ones that stick out, that you notice.
Yep. And I do note that they do fire retardant shade sales now, so it is something to consider in the future. One other question was, have we had much am I allowed to ask if we've had much interest in the greening strategy tender, or is that confidential?
No, not anymore.
Well, it's there, just saying that tenders are out.
I know we've had some interest. We haven't had any formal responses yet, so we'll wait and do very shortly.
Cool. Thanks. That's all.
Any other questions regarding the tech services report? Councillor Bittar?
I just wanted to thank you for the update in this, because it's not the structure around the time for having the big tech services update, but it's good to have this mini update, and because it answered a lot of questions that we didn't need to ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, Councillor Bittar. Councillor Coffey.
Can I just ask, on the first page under FOGO, planning's underway to retrofit council vehicles. Just be interested to hear a bit more about that.
The bio bin?
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously we're going to bio bins for that, and currently we have a hook truck that works at the landfill, so it's about basically retrofitting a skid steer onto that, and bio bins, I guess, doing our plans at the moment to retrofit skid steers so we can basically drag the bio bins onto a hook truck and then move them around as we need, and then they're going to come back with a price and solution on that, and then we can hopefully procure them.
And a bio bin is a bin that composts for you. So you have your FOGO, you put your food and organics in there, and it's basically a bin and a staff member that turns it till makes it compost, and then we can sell that. Anything else? No? A good thing. Thank you for the updates, Director. I think there's a lot happening, which is very exciting. Greening strategy, recycled water, shade structures in parks, parks master plan, regional skate park, the implementation of the master plan at ASOLC, the regional waste management facility, and Lindervale Park almost completed. So there's lots going on there. I'm going to go get myself a big pair of golden scissors, Mr. CEO, to start cutting some ribbons, because we've had some good things underway, and so it's the time has come to start cutting. So look forward to that, and I forgot to say Hartley Street car park toilet. This will be exciting for many, I'm sure. But yeah, relieved. So that was moved, Councillor Hopper, seconded Councillor Bittar. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you. The environment policy, the climate and environment policy. So we've gone, we have the draft presented to us. We gave feedback. It is now here. It's also an implementation plan and a reporting schedule. So I thank the director and the officers for their hard work in getting to this point. Would you like to move it, Deputy Mayor, or would you like to speak to it first?
More than happy to move it. I just want to acknowledge the work of the officers, managers, and also the director to bringing what I think is a very important achievement for this council. We've gone way and above and we're ahead of the game in terms of other councils, I think, and other even government bodies, where we've converted a document that was initially the climate action plan, and now it's a policy, it's an environment climate policy, which allows us to immerse our operational component, our operational divisions and elements of council to always be focused and in by way of implementation of the plan, be able to ensure we are conscious at every single turn of every single meter that we move forward into in the future. We are working to improve our environment, whether it's focusing on making our fleet electrical in the future, whether it's talking about how we can conserve our water usage, whether it's talking about our electrical reducing our power usage, and how we can recycle at operational level. Now, in every sense of the word, we're charging ourselves with the responsibility of making and implementing a policy that will ensure we're ahead of the game from an environment awareness and protection and plan. And I think the sooner the mayor is on the front page of the Australian newspaper tomorrow for this effort, the sooner the rest of Australia should actually adopt it. And I mean it in a wholeheartedly. So our media team, national media release tomorrow. And I'm not telling the media team what to do, by the way. I'm just suggesting it might be a good idea. But in all seriousness, it's a great achievement. Well done to this council. And thank you to the officers and directors once again. And I'm happy to move it whenever the time is right.
Thank you. So I'll take a move from Deputy Mayor, Seconder Councillor Batar. I'll just follow up. I won't take as long, but I think this is a very good report. I think that it outlines where we're going for the next few years. I think it's a very good report. Hopefully this will come to us at budget time, Mr. CEO, so we can budget appropriately as well, because I think that there is some things here which, you know, are game changers. So congratulations to officers who've done the work. Councillor Coffey.
Yeah, I concur with the comments from both the Mayor and Deputy Mayor. Just one query, I suppose. The implementation report in the format that it currently is on our devices is a bit hard to read. I wonder whether it could be provided in a by date format, so that then we understand, okay, for this year, these are the key areas that we are looking to implement, and then, you know, for the following years, et cetera. Just otherwise, it's a bit hard at the moment. You just got to go through and work out, oh, yeah, what's happening this year.
Yep.
Yeah, we can do that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll say it again, like the Public Art Master Plan, very easy to read that checklist, by the way. Any further comments? We'll take that as an action. Please, front table's growing and growing. Need more seats up in a minute. Move, Deputy Mayor, seconded Councillor Batar. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Questions without notice. Is there any questions from any councillors? No. Deputy Mayor?
Not a question, but just an acknowledgement. Congratulations on your this council's first 12 months. Happy 1 year anniversary. Well done, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Yes, 12 months on Thursday. So congratulations since we had our swearing in. Well done. It's been a good year. We've had My Alice, we've done the strategic livability and sustainability plan. We've underway with our Parks Master Plan greening strategy. So we've done some good plans to take us forward for the next, 3 years, but even longer than that, 2030. So well done. Hopefully, I think that we are increasing amenity and livability in Alice Springs. So congratulations to everyone. And thank you for that, Deputy Mayor. I'm not sure if lunch is here, so I'm going to go on to general business. I do note that we've got the remuneration at 2:30. So we can hopefully fit these things in and also lunch. Deputy Mayor, the first order of the day is a future motion regarding community safety and community-funded dog patrols.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is simply a notice to elected members that at the next ordinary council meeting, it will be my opportunity. I will take the opportunity to present in the appropriate way a motion that talks about the issue of community safety here in town, and the specific research that I'll undergo over the next month will be to see the possibilities and the opportunities of engaging community to encourage voluntarily funding a security patrol that would include a dog patrol, but funded essentially by contributions from community on a voluntary basis, and how council may or may well not be able to participate if there are any possibilities or instruments through council, lawful council processes that will allow us to collect the money or promote such an idea. But right now, I'm not asking for discussion and or moving any motion. I'm just forecasting that fact, but I would invite other elected members over the period of time to engage with me in providing any helpful information or alternative ideas. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I will say, might be worth doing some research into Darwin. Does the government fund that patrol? So the government should be funding ours, is my point, as part of their public order. So Our businesses are already struggling, so I look forward to the paper, but I'll do some research into how they do it in Darwin and who funds that process. But thank you. Councillor Brown. Big Alice.
Okay. Well, this is a bit of a follow-up from a discussion in media earlier this week, I'm thinking, or last week, I don't remember when it was, relation to the subject of the Alice, or in fact why Alice didn't grow. There's a couple aspects of it that I'd like to, it hasn't grown to the amount that it was expected over these years. One of the original parts of that discussion was really water supply for Alice Springs. This has always been a fair few about lack of growth in Alice Springs. Alice Springs actually has one of the best water supplies and future water supplies of any town in the country. When you take a comparison with Darwin, if it doesn't rain in a year, given 1.5 year water supply in front of it, we have, before we started acknowledging recharge, initially 450 years, which has been taken back by further allocations in recent years. However, it's still acknowledged at 250 years. On top of that, in recent times, groundwater has finally come around along with our water resource to admitting that there is full recharge into the Marina Basin, so that changes the equation again. The reason I'm mentioning this is because it's one of the arguments that's been used to stop growth in this town from planning directed from elsewhere, not from local community. And with that whole subject that was going on there, Alice Springs has always been a vibrant community with enormous potential for growth, and there's been a continual line of people with projects for this town that, had we developed, there would be many times the size that we are today. What we've been dealing with over all those years is a complete and utter lack of forward planning or thinking or ambition for the town from government. We've basically been dealing with a complete and utter negligent level of neglect from our capital city, who seems very keen on massive services to themselves in the capital city, but very, very little regard whatsoever for the development outside of it. And that is, given that they've also controlled the planning process, there is no local planning process except for a couple of boards that sit on a board that the minister can override at any stage and often does. So the result for Alice Springs has been all the things that could have happened for us and should have happened for us have been eventually held up. And right now we're sitting on perhaps the brink of another one, because given the discussion around the art gallery at the moment and having a look at where we're actually at in comparison to what my expectations of where we're at, I would not be in the least bit surprised if that ends up being another one of those things added to the list of something that never occurs in this town. So, you know, in relation to that whole subject, people are always very reluctant to hold the conversation about bringing planning back to town and council level, because councils obviously don't want to take the extra workload. But it is something that we should be seriously thinking about and lobbying government for, because the signs for our springs have been that we've been subject to foreign planning practices for the last 50 years and it has not been good for us. So we should all give that some consideration. That was my consideration on that subject for the minute. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment? Thank you, Councillor Brown. Deputy Mayor, got a quick comment?
Just a quick follow-up. I support the comments made by Councillor Brown. Just flying over Alice Springs yesterday, a gentleman sitting next to me said, what's that over there? And he's pointing at what I hadn't really seen from the plane before. It was a small bunch of houses grouped together, which was Kilgariff, and a patch of dirt to the right-hand side, which was very small area. And it's amazing that there is so much growth in Darwin going on at the moment, so much growth everywhere else around in South Australia driving around, old things being knocked down, new things being rebuilt. But you're right, Councillor Brown, we have had some myth. We should do some myth busting as to why this town doesn't grow. It's important that we grow. In fact, I'm aware that Power and Water
to a visit to their sewage plant over at where it's at. We understand we were informed as councillors at the time when we did the visit that the sewage and water, the underground pipes, can handle an additional 10,000 people in our town, more usage. So we have certain infrastructure. I agree with the story about the water. Why we don't grow? Well, that's something that this council can champion in the near future, and I look forward to supporting Councillor Brown and others where we can champion the growth of Alice Springs. We have the opportunity, whether it's infill, whether it's going up, if we can't go out wide, but we need to be able to build it so they can build it so they will come.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Brown, social order and crime.
Okay, well, we just wanted to have this discussion in the open in relation to the motion that we originally had, but we've had to digress and have a conversation around the plan in the confidential section of the meeting. So that obviously can't be spoken about in the open, so we'd just like to acknowledge basically that we are having this discussion with the Territory Government, that the Council is going to do its absolute best to work alongside the Government with this plan and to try and get something done about the issues that are affecting our town, probably the front and centre of everybody's thinking. However, in making those comments, I would also like to remind people that there's a big population of people in this town, of people like myself that have been here for many years and love the place, have no intention of ever going anywhere else. And we have a very high opinion of our town, not a low opinion of our town, and even though we have our troubles and our issues, it is absolutely important that we don't lose sight in the very negative way that seems to be occurring of the reasons for being here in the first place, and the fact that we absolutely must acknowledge crime and we absolutely have to deal with the issues. We mustn't lose sight of the subject, as I was talking about before, in growing our town and growing our future and creating employment for people, and that we are going to be here into the future and not give way to this belief that's perpetrated, unfortunately, in social media to a large degree of negativity, that everybody's leaving the town and that there's no future for any of those things. That is absolutely not true. And I'd like to encourage Alice Springs people to get behind community efforts to build the place up, not to knock it down. And when people like Deputy Mayor put up ideas about community involvement in our safety and everything else, I want to encourage Alice Springs people to get involved, to get behind it. Don't leave everything to everybody else. And if you see acts perpetrated on the street, or you're aware of something that's going to occur, be involved. You know, help your community, help others. Don't walk past somebody in trouble on the streets, even if it's just calling out, whatever. But time to love our town instead of talking it down.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. I think it was pretty well said. Our town is an amazing place. I agree with you. And we've got, amazing people here, which makes it easy to live here. And like everywhere else at the moment, we face some challenges, but I think that promoting our town on a national level is, is something that's very important. To go back to the first point around the social order response, I do welcome it by the Northern Territory Government. I look forward to it hopefully having some positive effect on Alice Springs, because we need some change immediately. And hearing Will's story earlier, it just makes me incredibly sad that that's where I live, and that could have been my children that have had that experience. But I agree that social media does make things very difficult. And so we are a great place, and I'm very proud to be the mayor of Alice Springs. And I certainly want to see Alice Springs grow and see it in the news for the right things rather than the wrong things. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, thank you. I concur with those comments, both from yourself, Mr. Mayor, and Councillor Brown. The interesting thing from another statistic that I can give you is that the rental demand in Alice Springs is so low that good luck getting something, and it's not cheap.
And we just had the busiest tourism season by 1 year ever.
We have a lot of positives going on in this town, and it's a beautiful town. And we're here in the Alice Springs Town Council. We're responsible for a world famous and an iconic Australian town. And it's on the land of the richest culturally. It is the most beautiful, significant spot in Australia in terms of culture, and not to mention, it's not my position to mention to talk about the Indigenous component, but I'm very proud that I promote that everywhere I go, that we have this beautiful culture, and we should share it with the rest of the world if they choose to. But the most important thing that you make the point about the plan that's undergoing in terms of creating a safer environment, it's a no-brainer. It has to happen. However it comes about, it has to happen. We have to have safety. Safety brings about confidence, and confidence in investor, confidence in community. People can get about walking the streets, going to restaurants. And so when I go to a restaurant like we did last night, two elderly ladies walked out of the restaurant, said good evening and walked out. But I needed to walk out and stand watching them walk down the mall and just watch them go all the way through, because I just felt so uncomfortable that the two ladies were simply at 7:30 at night were at risk. And that's wrong. In every sense of the word, that's wrong. That, not that I did that, it's wrong that I have to think this way. And it's important that we support the government in this initiative. And I appreciate Councillor Banks and Councillor Brown for bringing a motion that has some procedural complications, but we can talk about the most important things, and that is the community safety. And if government's now engaged, well done to government. It's a start, but let's get it on, because we need to be safe in this town. And I agree with Councillor Brown when he says that it's not always up to government, though. Community can actually jump in and be a part of the solution. So the sooner we all work together, the sooner we can get rid of and move forward to a greater, nicer, safer community, and where we can encourage people to come and live and stay for a lot longer.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I've got a question for you, Mr. CEO. Whilst you're out of the room, the Deputy Mayor did make a point about CBD and having to watch someone in his dark and XYZ. We've spoken a lot in this chamber about SEPTED as well. We have a commitment from the federal government in regards to $20 million for CBD revitalisation. Just confirming, we have a forum next month to talk about the CBD revitalisation in Council's Park.
We do have a forum. So there's a forum in November. We're working through not only concepts and ideas to bring to elected members so that you can give us some advice on which direction we should head, but we're speaking to stakeholders as well. So that it's an inclusive process, so we can learn from everyone where we should move next.
Thank you. I look forward to that discussion, and I look forward to the CBD revitalisation. Any further discussion? Thank you. I'll go to another point. Councillor Brown, Ilpapa Road.
Apologies, everybody. It would have been nice if we could have put a few in between.
I'm happy to go to someone else, if you like.
No, well,
I think you struck by the iron sight, mate. You're going right.
Well, the Ilpapa Road's a pretty quick one. I've left this in the usual as councils were encouraged to use meet streets or whatever to report issues on roads, but I've been observing this one for a little while out of interest of how our monitoring of roads and meet streets is working in these kind of circumstances, and it clearly isn't. Ilpapa Road from the Ilpapa subdivision on into where the Wingardy Caravan Park, that road is in very dangerous condition. There are potholes on the outsides of corners. Both of those corners have multiple deaths at them in the past, and black spots, in other words. And they're very deep holes, not little holes. I saw a caravan go in the other day and rip its entire tyre to pieces on the corner. And it's only a matter of time before there's another very nasty accident. I'm really disappointed they'll have to wait for me, and that's the reason I'm raising this point. So I'm making the point that we're clearly not finding these things early enough and shouldn't have to reach a stage where I have to bring it to council. And this is well beyond where normal maintenance should have found it and repaired it. That was my point.
Thank you.
Councillor
Banks.
Thank you,
Mr. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Mr. CEO.
Look, thank you for the update. We'll do this one urgently, not only the reason, not only taking the action, but finding out why that wasn't action before. Thank you.
That might, that also might answer my question about where roads to recovery money's going. But thank you. Councillor Brown.
That's a good idea.
You've actually got three more as well, so finish up all your breath. Hartley Street car park.
Well, I just wanted a quick update on that one. I know that something's happening with some lighting, but it's an embarrassing thing since we've been continually warned by the Territory Government and everybody else about where it is, including my own family asking me about where it is. So where are we at with it? How far are we away from getting lights there?
Look, I'm not across that myself, unfortunately. I'll get you an update before the next meeting.
Councillor Brown, down water tree pruning.
Well, I couldn't find that email or whatever it was that we got notified on, but we know that the crew's in town, and we know it's addressing the issue this morning. But we also passed a motion back to about in relation to that very subject, and that council should seek to either undertake in the future this maintenance themselves as opposed to allowing an outside out-of-town contract to come in to do it. This would allow a number of things. It would allow the trees to be grown closer to the power lines in the island because they're trimming for 2 years or so plus. We can also put our own code of or a standard on what should be done because at the moment they're mostly planting trees under the power lines and just leaving branches hanging out. So the requirement to trim a tree and prune a tree so it's balanced correctly should be, no matter who's doing it, should be an absolute requirement. And if we could obviously, if we were undertaking, we could also undertake all the other pruning that's required on those trees. If you drive down the streets, for instance, in Greenfield Street meeting this morning, the size of those trees have got sucker growth on just about every single tree in very large amounts. It should also be pruned in the similar actions. So given that there's money, whether it be ours or Territory Government, or town water, those dollars and units are being spent up and going around one, surely we can find a way between us all of combining that into a single operation and pruning trees correctly and properly in a way that's aesthetic and leaves them in a functional state. Those trees on Bloomfield Street have been allowed to get so wildly one-sided that they're actually dropping into the path of traffic. And if you look at all the scarring underneath them, large and high trucks are often impacting them. And I followed through a high load only a few weeks ago, and they had to drive all the way down the middle of the road. And as soon as there was traffic coming, they had to move over because the trees have now, they drop all the time as well as grow longer. And they just don't leave the clearance that they should for high traffic. So I'm hoping, I know that we did pass motions to have those discussions, and I'm hoping that that's proceeding somewhere.
I have had, and I'll go to the director.
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair. So we've met with Parent Water prior to this, and we've raised our willingness to be part of that. Obviously, they have a tender process and a contract with the existing company. So told them we'd like to be part of that tender going forward and look at options to work with them there. We also raised the concerns that were raised here about the tree pruning, and obviously they said it was regrettable in the past around the contractor that was used, and they're hoping their new contractor is providing a better service. So I guess it's important that feedback makes it back to them on this round.
Yeah, I just want to be clear that we're reaching the stage where we've got some sort of new regime around here. I just don't want a one-off discussion with Power and Water that this continues on as usual next year. This should be the last time that their contractor comes into our town and trims trees without oversight of council. So I would like to see a process that we're heading towards, some sort of firm resolution to this endless scenario.
Thank you. Anything to add to that, Mr. CEO?
No, I think the resolution by council was done on an efficiency measure. You know, it's the source of money exists. You know, we can do a better job. How do we achieve that? Director Andrew started that process, and what I hear you saying is let's try and get that done as quick as possible. So we'll do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Personal emails.
Just want to close out the email that was sent around by the CEO a week or so ago relating to councillors being able to forward stuff from their iPads. I'm saying that that's basically not an allowable process. Well, I'm afraid that we need to make it an allowable process in some way because it's simply just not functional. We can't email each other, we can't take stuff off from our own computers and print it and do all those sort of things. It's making it very difficult. So we need agreement basically on what we're going to do about that. So it is a functional process.
So a couple of things through the chair. We're working on that now. We've found out that there may be an app that allows the security required to happen that NTG might have used. So we're speaking to IT to try and get that to happen. So the original basis was that the department was saying that that was the best process, and so we followed that. But I can see where elected members are coming from. We're trying to find that solution so that you can get what you need.
It may be the best process from a mental point of view because they're all about risk. But as an elected member, we're also about practicality, right? And so everyone works full-time and doesn't carry their council iPad with them. And I just think that as a council, like everyone's got a lock on their phone. We know what we can share confidentially. If something goes to a personal email and it gets sent out, well, that person's got to be investigated through ICAC. It's no different to be able to screenshot something and send it off my phone. No one knows. So I haven't done that, by the way. Just saying that. I just think that I appreciate that the department are saying whatever they're saying, but then, you know, we've either got to provide elected members with phones and update the iPads to make sure we can print and do everything because, noting how many emails we get, you know, it's got to be a happy balance somewhere in between.
No, I think that's reasonable. We're trying to best to find the win-win. So I just carried my iPad and everything with me everywhere, but that's my job. So, with the last council, it didn't seem to be an issue, but I think if it enhances you to do your work, which I think is the intent here, we'll find a solution.
I was on the last council. It was an issue for me. Councillor Banks.
Thank you. And just to give support to that, I can't access the childcare form. That's I've had to have it sent to me personally, that one. And it isn't, it's not a go at you either, Emma, by the way, because you've been more than helpful, as have other EAs. So I can't access that via there to print it off. So I need to, and I can't fill it on my iPad. I can't fill the meeting allowance one. I couldn't, I had to go through my old notices of motion to be able to develop my notice of motion. Then I forwarded it to myself and I couldn't receive it in my inbox. So it's been blocked. So then I had to forward it to everybody in order for it to even to be received. So I had to work on it on my own. Then I had to access it on my own PC to then send it to my work, and I couldn't do that. So there's actual very practical things that we actually can't do. They're very clunky, and I use them monthly, and it's awkward.
Agreed. Thank you. Councillor Hopper, your hand was up. Now it's down.
No, sorry. I was just going to concur. It's not actually about whether you've got your iPad or not. It's the functionality. So we can't fill out forms, which is, you know, why everyone's forwarding emails to themselves.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Brown. Have a rest. Councillor Little, lights at Canellan.
Yeah, well, it's pretty dark there. Yeah, but there's just no lighting down that Colonel Rose Drive. And all those streets around there, the lighting's pretty dark, you know. Little lights, if no lights. So I was just wondering, how can we address this? Or is there anti government money around to do this business?
So there's a couple of things. I can look at the exact scenario. The lights sit under power and water at the present time. What I might do is have I might have a bit more of a review of the scenario to see whether, first of all, the standards, what the standards should be, and we're meeting them or not. Mm. And the second part, we can follow up with who's responsible to make sure that those standards are met. So I think that's something we can take on. Thank you.
Yeah, I think just that the road to the airport there, going past Kilgariff, and as you go in Colonel Rose,
yep,
really dark there, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no lighting at all.
Okay.
Bit dangerous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Councillor Little.
Thank you.
Update on statues.
Yeah, and another thing, I just wanted to know where we're going and what are we up to around those statues.
The erected battle.
Yeah.
Through the chair, so Councillor Little, we have developed an artist brief, like an EOI, that's going to go out to artists in the next few weeks to hopefully get some people in to talk about what that looks like.
What about who? Because there was consultation with Lura Tipa and with the public around who it was going to be. Where are we with that?
The CEO and I met with we've met with a couple of organisations about this. We had a few meetings.
Yeah.
So we've developed the artist brief, and once that comes back in, there'll be further consultation about what comes back through that brief process.
Should we? Are they exclusive together, or should we be running one? The consultation on who is, whilst there's the brief, because I mean, the brief, but we can be having the discussion around who it's going to be.
Okay, so I think probably the way to go here is to look. Director Bandel did a good job with the brief, and so that's all there. What we might do is just synthesize the information we have now and get that back to the next council meeting, so you know what's exactly happening and the timelines associated with that. So just so you know exactly what's happening. So that's probably where we are at this stage, if you're happy with that, Director. So we'll get you an answer by the next council meeting on what's happening, and make sure we've tied together those processes, like you said, both of you. Thank you.
Okay. No worries. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Little. Councillor Coffey, nighttime activity.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about a post on social media, which usually would
nervous.
Yeah, which might make people nervous, but this I think demonstrates the benefit of activities in the mall. So Danielle Loy put a post on a few days ago, and her comments were, "Don't give up on Alice. Having a blast in the mall right now, still an amazing community." And she was in the mall for the Desert Festival. Night event on that Thursday. So, you know, I do think that having activities in the CBD, in the mall, is really important. You know, it links in with our future sort of nighttime economy strategy, our economic strategy, but it also reduces crime and antisocial behaviour when there's other activities going on there. So I think this is a really good example of what can be done. It addresses some of those other issues, but it also brings the community together, you know, for an event that people really like and support. And we should really think about that when we're funding activities. You know, we've at times, for instance, I think the Fink Desert Race has thought about moving some of their activities out south of the Gap, and we've always, you know, I think supported them to keep some of their activities in town and funded them to do so. I think that's really important moving forward, that we continue to focus our funding for events to be in and around the CBD, not exclusively, but I think it's critical, which then links in with, you know, the development of a nighttime strategy with an economic development strategy, and just, you know, improving the amenity, reducing the antisocial behaviour and crime in and around the CBD. So, you know, I just wanted to sort of bring this up as a good example about what can be achieved and the positives that can come out of things like that.
Thank you, Councillor Coffey. I attended as well. Councillor Banks was there. It was a great event. But one thing that missed from this year's Desert Festival was the parade. And that missed out because of the traffic management. So, you know, we need to continue to have that conversation to work with them, because when good events like that are missing out on traffic management because they can't afford it, you know, again, because that parade is probably a very special part of it. But I agree with you that we have Fink, the Christmas night markets, when all those people are here, just, you know, there is no antisocial behaviour and it's a great place to be. So absolutely agree with you.
And sorry, can I just add, of course, and you mentioned we've got that money from the federal government for CBD revitalisation. So I think we should keep these sort of events in mind. How can we redevelop the CBD to make these events even better and work better for everyone? Yeah, great. So I look forward to that forum.
Thank you, Councillor Coffey. Councillor Hopper on that point.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that and to remind us when we're thinking about improving security and things like that and contributing extra funds to things that we do, look at alternative approaches like supporting our local artists and musicians, of which we have plenty, and who are often available at nighttime to contribute to the amenity of our outdoor spaces. So yeah, just supporting what Councillor Coffey had to say there. And as the rep on the Red Hot Arts Board, I know that there's a lot of skills in that organisation at the moment and they've built up to a really good capacity. So it would be great for us to continue conversations with them and definitely seeing how we can make sure the parades happen in the future.
Thank you. Another point on CBD, I'll go to Councillor Batard on Todmall Traders.
Todmall Traders, money for that was put in the budget as well as into the municipal plan, and I've just had questions from the traders about when they'll see any action on that. What's the plan around that? And also, has it come through being in the budget? Is that enough, or does it need to come back through council for a resolution to make that happen?
No, it shouldn't need another resolution because it's been adopted through the municipal plan, adopted in the budget. But I'd say that it's a fitting time to have the conversation whilst we're talking about CBD revitalisation.
I think the timing is excellent. There was, I think, around 75,000 in the budget. 70,000. Okay. It allowed for a role and
75.
That's okay. A role to be put in place, and I think the advertising for that position is going out in the next 4 weeks, roughly. Yeah, okay. And then I note that we need to, you know, start the meetings of the group after that, but that is underway. Thank you.
Great. Councillor Banks.
Furthermore to that, I was speaking with a trader in the Todmall who had been asking around and was informed that the Todmall Traders wasn't active. Do we have any information on that? Because I'd spoken to them previously and said, I recommend, you know, they're talking particularly around the potential comments made by the mayor about the road through the mall. And I said, I'd encourage you to become active in it if you've got concerns. And I think a way to get into that would be through the Todmall, which they hadn't heard about. Then doing their research, they've come back to say that it's no longer an active group.
It's not an active group. That's what this 75,000 is to set up.
Okay. So, to set it up. Right. Okay. Yep. Sorry. My apologies. Yep. Great. Sorry. I misinterpreted all of that. Thanks, Abbott.
Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Todmall Traders Association was introduced some time ago and it was active. It had a council staff member appointed. Wages were funded by the council. The role of that person was to provide communications, take minutes, provide those minutes back to and feed it back to the committee. The committee had a chairperson. Sadly, that person who owned the cinema, Paul Davidowski, passed away through cancer as a result of cancer. And in that time, no one picked it up and there were some changes in council. At the time, it wasn't driven. But as a resolution, it's a standing resolution of council that the Todmall Traders remain, although inactive, the idea of ensuring funding and reappointing a new individual will reactivate what is an existing infrastructure. But I would also, and I've spoken to the mayor about it, I think he should also chair it in the first meeting, and once that person is appointed and organise the meeting, bring the traders together and away we go.
Thank you,
Deputy Mayor. And thank you, Councillor Batar. Councillor Links. Councillor Hopper on dog welfare.
Thank you. This was brought to my attention a few weeks ago by a member of the public that we have a relatively new tick-borne virus here, which isn't in Victoria or New South Wales. Ercolosis, so I'll try and say it. And her query was, I mean, I know we interact around dog registrations and also dogs at large, but I guess it was more of a general question, do we engage around any preventative stuff in terms of animal welfare? And she was floating the idea of trying to get some coordination in terms of potentially funding for preventative tick collars and things like that, or even just an educational program to be rolled out. The reason for her sort of getting in touch now is because of the heat and rain that's coming over summer is going to cause an outbreak, and the vets that she's been speaking to are quite concerned about it as well. It is a deadly virus in the dogs. It can make them sick or kill them. So, yeah, I was just wondering if that had come across the desk of anybody or if it's something that there's a willingness to engage from a council perspective to some extent.
Thank you, Councillor Hopper. Mr. CEO.
Look, unless Director Battle has more to add, we might take that question on notice to see what can be done or what is being done now. Thank you.
Thanks, and I can forward you that. I'll forward you the email from that person.
Thank you.
Anything to add to that one, Director? Take it on notice. Thank you. Thank you. That's all general business. Matters for media will be dealt with by the media present. And the next ordinary meeting won't be in September. It'll be the 25th of October at 11 a.m. There being no other business, I ask for a motion to close this meeting. Moved, Deputy Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Coffey. All those in favour? Any against? Carried. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Hopper. Now, there's a 2:30 discussion with the remuneration. Ooh. Have you closed that?
So, new link or the same one?
No, there'll be a new link. There'll be a new link.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Now, there's lunch in the kitchen.